Good morning and welcome to episode 242 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany. I'm David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by. Lots of good stuff going on right now. NBA playoffs, EuroLeague Final Four is set, international competitions, rosters are being named, sites are being announced for competitions. Loads and loads of good stuff, and let's talk about some of it. First of all, before we do that, I want to let you know you can get in contact with the show. You can go to easiest way is probably go to Twitter and catch me at Hein News, H-E-I-N-N-E-W-S. You can go to Facebook, the group. Just put in Taking the Charge podcast in the search bar, and you can find us there, Taking the Charge podcast. The email address is heinnews@gmx.de. Website's heinnews.com. What else? iTunes, go rate and review the show. Go to Patreon and show your love. Donate to the show. There are benefits that you can kickbacks that you can get some gear, whatnot. So I think that's it. Plenty of ways to get in contact. Let's start with the international stuff. Mainly because it's news, and it is some good stuff going on. FIBA America's Under 18 Championship has been announced. The hosts for the Under 18 FIBA America's Championship next summer will be in St. Catharines, which, if you don't know, is about an hour south of Toronto. It's actually not too far from what's it called? The falls, Niagara Falls. So St. Catharines, I think that's in June. So that's the Under 18 FIBA America's Championship. That's the 2000 generation. So that's, I would imagine, Barrett will probably be playing that. Bariaco, that's kind of that top generation. Maybe some of the top kids from 2001 will be playing there. Can imagine that's going to be a pretty good tournament for the Canadians, and probably one of their best chances to knock off the Americans. Obviously, that's next year. But still, something to look forward to. The Under-18 FIBA America's Championship will be in St. Catharines. FIBA announced also that the Under-17 Basketball World Cup will be taking place in Argentina, which will be interesting. And I've never been to Argentina, so that'll be a chance to head down there. And so that is the 2001 generation. Those are the Under 16 continental championships that are going on this summer. Europe has their competition in Podgorica in Montenegro. The FIBA Americas are in Argentina, and I think FIBA Asia is still trying to figure out where they're actually going to host it. And I believe FIBA Africa might be doing the same, trying to figure out where they're going to host it. That's an interesting 2001 generation for Argentina. You know, they've been hosting a couple of things. They're hosting, like I said, they're hosting the Under-16s. So it also kind of gives them an automatic berth. So, you know, automatically gets their kids into that tournament. They did the Central Basket, that's not correct, not the Central Basket. They were in the South American bracket to get to the Under-16s and hosted it, so they were automatically in the final into the FIBA Americas. And that's the generation with Tomas Chaperro, who was at the Jordan Brand Classic, Gaston Bertona. They had a long trip last winter over to Europe, played at the Pinar Under-16 tournament in Turkey. and had a couple of games in Spain and in Serbia. So they've been doing a lot to try to work on this generation. And like I said, Shapiro, you know, Tomas Shapiro, you know, he's a pretty interesting kid. You know, he like I said, so he was in Jordan Brand Classic. So that's an announcement. That came out actually today, Wednesday, day of the podcast. Also announced the fact that Brazil will not be playing at the Under 19 World Cup this summer. FIBA have confirmed their Brazil ban on international competitions. That is knocks Brazil out of all international competitions that take place until the end of July. So they are out of it. FIBA Americas now have to propose the teams that will replace Brazil in those competitions. And it would only seem to me fair and the logical choice that Argentina would take play would take their place, Brazilian's place. That being also because Argentina finished fifth in the competition in the FIBA Americas under 18 last summer, and the top four teams go through. Brazil actually, you know, you can go back and actually meant to go back and look, but I had Will Rosario, the FIBA Americas communications director, on after the FIBA Americas, and I wasn't totally thrilled with the Brazilian team. They were going to be getting probably at least Pedro Barros, who's over in Juventud Badalona, who was actually one of the top players at the Adidas Next Generation Tournament in Los Hospitalet. And then also Felipe Dos Anjos, obviously the talented big man out of Real Madrid. So that would have actually made that Brazilian team a lot more interesting. That being said, I wasn't, you know, the talent there was, you know, wasn't hugely convincing in my eyes, at least. I didn't see them live, but I saw them on stream, and wasn't really totally impressed with them. Argentina, you know, they're gonna have a nice group of kids coming. You look at Lautaro Berra, Facunda Corvalan, Francisco Cafaro, Lautaro Lopez, Santiago Valet. So that's a nice little core there. And so I think that Argentina team is actually going to be pretty interesting. I'm not going to say they're going to compete, but I hope that they do make it. The only other team I would see is Chile, but you know, I mean, I think Argentina's been hosting, has shown the commitment of hosting FIBA competitions. And then they finished ahead of Chile. They finished fifth in the FIBA Americas last summer in the under 18s. So it only seems to be the total logical choice that they send Argentina to the competition. We'll see. I imagine. I think the FIBA release said in the coming days. So maybe by the time we have a next show next week, they will have announced that. But I do like that that group of Argentinians, probably almost a little bit better than the Brazilians. You know, you also had the kids, the 99 generation that played at the under 17 Basketball World Cup last summer. So those guys, you know, that's the 99 generation, so they'll be taking a step up playing in the 98s, but still should be a pretty good group. All right, so that's FIBA news that's come out. Move on over to quickly just go to the EuroLeague Final Four. Obviously, we have all four teams now with Olympiacos grabbing the final spot. So CSKA Moscow and Fenerbahce both won in splits, won in sweeps, and then Madrid took down. Who did Madrid take down? Madrid played. Whoever they play in, I can't remember the top. Who did they play? All right, I'll look. So, but they won in four games, and then the Madrid. I don't have it on my post there. in four games, and Olympiacos took down Anadolu Efes in five. By the way, exactly what I predicted. How likely is that that all of my predictions went exactly? Not very often. So my predictions then are Olympiacos and and CSKA Moscow, which obviously has loads and loads of intrigue from past EuroLeague Final Fours. They match up, and Real Madrid and Fenerbahce take on each other in the other semifinal. And my pick is CSKA Moscow playing against Real Madrid in the final, and CSKA Moscow hoisting the trophy again. But it's going to be great. It's going to be a really, you know, these are the, you want the big teams, and you know, you're going to have two, you're going to have some pretty strong fan bases. You know, Real Madrid probably be the weakest fan base, but they show up pretty decently. And Fenerbahce obviously is going to be crazy, being essentially the host team. And Olympiacos obviously always have their fans come. By the way, that grouping of four has three teams in the Adidas Next Generation Tournament: CSKA Moscow, Fenerbahce, and Real Madrid. All of those teams also in the Adidas Next Generation. It's only the second time that's ever happened, and the first time was in 2004. A nice chance for the kids to watch the senior team, and maybe another double. There was a double in 2006, I believe. Yes, 2006. There was the CSKA Moscow double, where they won the EuroLeague Final Four as well as the Adidas Next Generation. And then two years ago, when Real Madrid took home both trophies, with Luka Doncic winning the 2015 MVP for the Adidas Next Generation Tournament. So, loads of basketball. I really look forward to that Final Four. That's going to be, like I said, just great teams, and I can't wait to be to check those games out. Let's move over to the interview. Jeff Taylor, obviously, people know Jeff and, have listened to him for many, many years covering basketball for the various outlets on streams, wherever, TV and whatnot. He was at the Basketball Champions League Final Four in Tenerife. He was covering the Basketball Champions League all season for FIBA and the Basketball Champions League website. So had Jeff on the show, talked to him about the Basketball Champions League. I forgot at the beginning. This is the fourth time he's been on the show. You can go back to listen to the previous episodes with him. Episodes 33, 206, and 219. This one being 242, the fourth time. Here we go with Jeff Taylor. Enjoy that, and we will catch you on the other side. All right, so back on the show this week. You know what? Every time I have like a new a guest who's been on already, I keep on forgetting to see how many times they've been on. So back on the show again this week, Jeff Taylor. Jeff, welcome back.
Thanks very much, Dave.
Jeff, you are just coming back home. Actually, I think last time we talked was after the Olympics, probably, right? Actually, maybe in between flights, if I might remember correctly, whatever. But
I was at the airport and watching Sergio Scariolo walk past, and we were talking about the highs and lows of the men's basketball tournament at the Olympics.
We have another basketball tournament to talk about this time. You were just at the Basketball Champions League Final Four in Tenerife. Iberostar Tenerife, the hosts, claim the first ever Basketball Champions League title.
That's right.
Beating Banvit looked like it was a pretty entertaining game.
Yeah, it was a very good game.
So go ahead, tell us a little bit about your thoughts about maybe general Final Four and the final. Just give us some impressions of what you thought about it.
Well, Dave, first of all, it being the first season of the Basketball Champions League, I think there were a lot of questions from everybody, from me, from the teams taking part, the organizers, how is this going to go? And I was really impressed by the people that I've actually worked with all season in the Basketball Champions League. I've been doing a lot of commentating for games, but I hadn't met some of the other people, and to see them on the ground and see them really kind of working hard to make sure the event went well, that was great. And we also had all four coaches and the captains of each team in separate kind of group press conferences, which I was privileged to be a part of on stage. So I got to speak with Sasho Filipovski, the Banvit coach, Čus Vidoreda, the Iberostar Tenerife coach, Zvezdin Mitrovic, the AS Monaco coach, and Walter de Rafael, the Umanerai Venezia coach, and then the captains, Gaspar Vidmar of Banvit, Nico Ricciotti of Iberostar Tenerife, Thomas Ress of Umanerai Venezia, and Amara C. of Monaco. And anyway, it was just a really relaxed time, and I think there was kind of a prevailing theme on, for that day. That was on Thursday, and that was that, hey, you know what? It's been a great competition. This thing was much better, much more competitive than perhaps we envisioned, but it's been a real joy to be a part of. And I just think that really things could not really have gone that much better in every sense of the word. And I think there's a lot of excitement about the competition next year. But, as Final Fours go, it was fantastic. I mean, first of all, the site, I think if you had chosen any one of those four places, it would have been fantastic. To go to Monaco, to go to Venice, to go to Bandirma in Turkey would be interesting. But we went to Tenerife, which is one of the Canary Islands off the coast of southern Morocco. And I mean, there's a volcano there, a dormant volcano. But when you can attract fans to a place like Tenerife, it makes it much easier to host a Final Four, because obviously there's a lot of things to do. And we rented scooters, went up into the mountains one day, fantastic looking down on the ocean and what have you. So just overall a great time. But on the court, I think things probably played out as a lot of people expected them to. Some people maybe think Banvit missed an opportunity to win the title because they didn't shoot the ball as well. They did, they just didn't make shots that they would have ordinarily done. But I think you have to really credit in that final Iberostar Tenerife and their defense, because they're kind of relentless. And Vidoreda has done a fantastic job with his defense. Marius Grigonis, a player that you're familiar with from his days in the Lithuanian youth ranks, and obviously now a Lithuanian national team member, played at the Olympics. He was the MVP. It was fantastic. To me, perhaps even more so than Furkan Korkmaz of Banvit, maybe looked like the biggest talent out there. 23 years old, really exciting to watch. He had 18 points. I mean, Monaco perhaps had the most athletic ability and talent. They were up 13 on Banvit in the semifinal, and maybe I'm sure they look back on that game and think they let an opportunity go by to win that game. They had actually beaten Banvit in one of their two games during the regular season, but Jordan Theodore, yet another player you're very familiar with from his time with Fraport Skyliners, just kind of willed his team to victory, and Gediminas Orlik and Umanerai Venezia, that they lost both games. They were just slightly off the pace, but I think people expected them to finish fourth because they were on the wrong end of some bad results during the year, and some of their big guns didn't really fire, like Melvin Edgem, the Canada international. So from that standpoint, I think things played out as they wanted. It's a basketball festival. You know what? The Iberostar Tenerife fans were singing Banvit after the game. It was a great show of sportsmanship, and I just think the whole thing left a good taste in everybody's mouths. And also, Iberostar Tenerife, they walked away with a 500,000 euro check. The prize money shoots up to 1 million euros next year for the winner. So I think there's a lot to be said for teams that are thinking about whether or not they're going to play in this competition next year. I think all signs point to there's not going to be any problems with people with teams hoping to get into that reduced 32-team field. Instead of 5 8-team groups, they're going to be 4 8-team groups in the regular season, and obviously there'll be some qualification rounds. So all in all, fantastic weekend. It's kind of a long way down to Tenerife, but made it back and safe and sound, and it's now on to national teams and things like that. So it's all very exciting, really. It never stops in international basketball or in basketball.
What would you say, you know, like you mentioned that, you know, there was a lot of questions going into this whole season. What would you say is the biggest positive that comes out of this Basketball Champions League season? But let's say mainly for the organizers, mainly for the people, you know, who put it all together.
I mean, I think for the organizers, the biggest plus is the resounding vote of confidence from the teams that took part. You know, every single person to a man, whether it's been a club president, whether it's been a general manager, whether it's been a leading player or a player that's, you know, an average player or whatever, and even the fans, everybody has said, wow, what a great year this has been. From a social media standpoint, they always point that out, and from a TV standpoint, they really enjoyed the fact that every single game could be watched, that there were highlight videos after all the games. They were always happy. I mean, they were really happy that they had some tough games and that they faced, you know, and that there were teams, some historic teams involved, like Partizan Belgrade, PAOK Thessaloniki, teams that have a long European history. And so from that standpoint, I think, you know, the organizers can think, wow, you know, it's been a great start. This is something to build on. But you know what? Last season is last season. Now we got to look ahead to next season. So from an organizer standpoint, you know, I think that they're very happy.
Biggest surprise of the competition. You followed it from the very beginning. You know, if you have one of both, let's do both. But biggest surprise, positive and negative.
You mean from the actual games itself, the way things played out?
I'd say that maybe the teams.
It's tough to find a surprise from Iberostar Tenerife because they haven't really relied too much on any one player throughout the season. I might even say the play of Mamadou Niang, who the Senegalese youngster who didn't play at all in the semifinal and then came in the third quarter and just basically dominated. He dominated blocking shots, catching alley-oop passes and dunking it, and just kind of really bringing a sense of energy to the team that just kind of allowed Iberostar Tenerife to kind of keep the pressure on. And so for me, I mean, that's the first thing that jumps out of my mind. The biggest surprise for Banvit for me this season has been the play of Edo Muric, but that's a bad surprise because he hasn't played well. And, you know, he's a Slovenian international. It's been kind of sad watching him. He just has seemed to have lacked confidence. And that was really disappointing. Unsung hero for Banvit for me, a surprise, Jeremy Chappelle, just a really solid player. Just terrific. I mean, it was his play in the third quarter that really lifted Banvit to victory. I'm just trying to think if there's a negative from Iberostar Tenerife. I'll have to come back to that because I can't really think of any. I mean, I don't think you could say it's a negative that Dornikamp didn't really catch fire as well as the big Greek Georgios Bogris. Because I think, you know, these guys usually provide a lot more points and rebounds. But at the end of the day, if you're a team that has a lot of weapons and you're not over-relying on somebody, then that's not really a negative. That's a strength. Biggest negative, I think, for Umanirai Venezia was the play of Ejim. He just never really got it going. And you're talking about a Canada international like Dornikamp. Ejim, they really needed him to step up and play well. The biggest plus for Monterey Venezia, I would say, is that they made it this far because I just don't think people expected them to do it. They had to come from behind in their playoff qualifier to win over Ventspils. Mm. They had to come from behind. They were down 17 points against Pinar Karşıyaka in Turkey. came back to lose that first leg by three, and they kind of carried the momentum into the final four. So I really feel like maybe they could have played better, but all in all, I don't think it was a disaster for them. And for AS Monaco, you know, the biggest surprise plus for them, the biggest plus for them, I liked the play. I would have expected more from Sergei Gladier, their Ukraine international, but, you know, he also has knee issues now. He was telling me he doesn't really have any cartilage in one of his knees, and he has to be really careful. He wasn't making excuses, but a player of his ilk, of his caliber, you would expect more, perhaps. And then for Monaco, the biggest plus, I would say would be, well, I mean, first of all, that they've put basketball on the map in Monaco. You know, this is a football dominated town. They have a huge tennis tournament there, the Monaco Grand Prix. Nobody, I don't think really basketball didn't register with anybody until the last couple of years, and they've won two Leaders Cup trophies. Here they are making to the Final Four, and really they were the most athletic, high flying, dunking team. They were fun to watch, and I think Yakubu Watara was the biggest plus for them. I mean, he was explosive. Wow. Go back and look at some of the highlights of his dunks. He is fun to watch. So just right away, those are the things that come to mind.
You've been covering it the whole year. And, you know, some people may have been a little bit surprised, you know, that Tenerife was, you know, they were leading the league in Endesa for a while there. And, you know, they were, you know, actually one of the top teams in the Basketball Champions League for a while. And, you know, until, you know, they've had a little bit of a tough stretch in the Liga Endesa, like right now, with four losses in the last five games with road games. But, you know, obviously having the Champions League, you know, the burden of the Champions League on them. But so the question for me is, you know, and they ended up losing their seeing their leading scorer Carl English leave to go to Berlin. And when did you think that Tenerife, you know, you being in Spain, you have being able to see them as well, you know, not necessarily live all the time, but when did you think that this is a team that actually could win this whole championship?
To be honest, I thought very early on they had the makings of a team that could win it, because they actually had a player called Javier Beran who is hugely influential, hit some big shots in the Liga Endesa. I mean, you know, just overall, just a huge part of the team. They, as you said, they brought in Carl English. He started with Bilbao, then he left and he came in. He really didn't play that much with Iberostar Tenerife, and I thought it was kind of odd that he left. But they didn't miss a beat without him, and I just think it was a real testament that they were able to hold it together. And I wouldn't say they had any superstars in their team, but I think their players probably are a lot better than people realize. You know, Fran Vasquez was an NBA lottery pick many years ago. Never went.
Don't remind your Orlando fans about that.
Yeah, so you know, you're talking about some good players. Rodrigo San Miguel is the type of point guard that you never really want to go up against. He's going to be a pest. Davin White, I think you're probably familiar with from his days in Germany. I mean, he's hit some big shots.
Will Hanley Will Hanley's been on the podcast.
Yeah, Will Hanley, what a fantastic player, story, everything. He actually used to play for Valencia. And
he went third division to ACB with Valencia in one season.
Yeah. So clearly a big talent.
What I really love about this team is, you know, you take a look at some of the stats, and first of all, you really have to appreciate the almost 20, so 19.9 assists to just under 13 turnovers. And then, you know, there's five guys between 10.1 points and 8.6 points per game, and nobody plays more than 25.3 minutes. So,
yeah, you know, it's a deep team.
And a team that really says, all right, let's just play together and we'll play, you know, and we'll all win together.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. I mean, it's the difference between Iberostar Tenerife and Banvit is that you had effectively five guys that played the majority of the minutes for Banvit, and then you had a couple of guys coming in. Tolga Geçim, I should have mentioned him actually as the pleasant surprise. What a fantastic talent he is from Turkey. Maybe doesn't get as many column inches on him as he deserves. He's a talent to look out for, Tolga Geçim. So, yeah, I mean, but you know, the funny thing is, speaking to Rodrigo San Miguel earlier this season or after their quarterfinals when they qualified, and also talking to Grigonis and some of the other guys, they're like, you know what? By playing in Europe, it's helping us play in Spain. By playing, being constantly on the go, constantly on the court, you know, players want to play, and they're coming up against good teams. They're building confidence. They're learning how to play against different defenses. And I don't know that that has actually caught up with them now. I just think that, you know, they've been on the wrong end of a couple of tough results, and I think they're perfectly happy. I mean, the name of the game is, anyways, to get to the playoffs. It's not so much to win the regular season, and obviously, you'd like to avoid Real Madrid if you can in the playoffs. But then again, they beat Real Madrid this season, so I think that I think they're okay. And I think also the fact that they've won the Basketball Champions League, it takes kind of the pressure off of them, because now, you know what? It doesn't matter what happens for the rest of the year. They have got the most famous, the most historical moment in the club achieved, the biggest moment in club history, without question. You know, fifth season in the Liga Endesa, and they've won a European title. I mean, it was a big fiesta, you know, in the final minutes of that game against Banvit, on into the night. They partied on into the night. When I got up to go to the airport, you could still see people walking around with their Iberostar Tenerife gear on. It was a great moment for them. So hopefully this will give them some confidence going into the rest of the season, and they'll be able to play loose and free, and really give a good account of themselves when they go into the Spanish Liga Endesa playoffs.
I want to ask more about one more guy though, who obviously we know actually quite well over the years. 4 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals in the final from the 38-year-old Tarik Kirkse. You know, obviously, you know, coming over from Angola, you know, longtime French national team player. What'd you think of him? Obviously, though, there's still more than maybe just a little bit in the tank. What'd you think of the old
Yeah,
man?
he was utterly brilliant. What a fantastic addition. Kind of late in the season by Chus Vidorreta. Obviously, he knew him because Kirksey had played in Spain, and he's the kind of guy that, you know what, you just can't turn your back on him. He comes up and he makes a play on defense. He hits a big shot. He comes up, you know, he gets a ball as it goes out of bounds, just completely does things, important things at the right moment for his 10 minutes or 15 minutes or 12 minutes that he's going to play, or 8 minutes. He's going to play well, and he's going to make a contribution. And I think that team actually needed him to win this title, because he was a veteran presence. And I think it speaks highly of him actually that he was naturalized and played in France for their national team. Because you and I know that, you know, this is a national team that doesn't really need any help from anybody. I mean, they're not short of talent in France. So he's a great talent, and yeah, I mean, savvy. That's maybe the best way to describe him. He oozes with savvy, and I think that was something that helped them.
Have to love whenever you can use the word ooze, right?
Yes.
So we have looks like 4 games left at home against Rayo Vallecano, who's fighting to get into the playoffs. At home against Baskonia, who they beat in Vitoria. At Barcelona, I think they had a 11-point win over Barcelona, and then at home, the final game of the year being a against the last place team right now, pretty much, I guess assured. Yeah, they're assured of being relegated.
Well, that's Gorgonis's former team, Manresa.
So with Barcelona, you know, them being right behind Barcelona for the for the fourth place, you know, and having to play them, Baskonia being third right now. What do you think is in it for this team? You know, obviously you'd love to get ahead of Barcelona, you know, to grab that fourth spot. So you have the first, for the first round, maybe at home, home court advantage against Barcelona. But, what do you think about, Tenerife's chances this year in the AC, in the Liga Endesa playoffs?
I don't think they're bad. I think it's pretty even. I mean, it's okay. Obviously, sometimes it comes down to how the other team is playing, but maybe Barcelona now can focus more on just what's happening in the league. It might actually help them more so than it helps Tenerife, but they'll be under pressure to get results. I do think it's the incentive is there for Iberostar Tenerife to get that home court advantage for the first round of the playoffs. I mean, that said, if there's any team that's accustomed to traveling, it's them, because every time they have to play a road game, they have to fly to Barcelona or Madrid and then, you know, take another flight to another destination, at least in the Basketball Champions League. So, but I think they will I think that it's going to help them, because I think the pressure is off because of this Basketball Champions League trophy. And now they realize that they can just play loose and free and play hard, and you know, they're right where they want to be. And I'm not sure that they're right where they thought they would be. So it's not like all of a sudden they're gonna wake up and say, oh my gosh, what are we doing here? They've been here all season long, and no, it's just going to be interesting to watch these last few weeks. And you know, they're kind of in uncharted territory right now, so it's still a very exciting story, Tenerife. The fact that they're headed towards the playoffs, and I think there's still a few twists in the tail. You know what? They are 19-9. Valencia are 22-7.
Yeah.
So they're not really that far off the lead.
Well, and there's four teams. I guess there's three teams between them. You know, obviously the last couple of weeks are going to be jockeying for position, which obviously means home court or avoiding, you know, this team or that team. How would you handicap this playoffs now? I mean, you know, like you said, you know, the top team in the league is Valencia with seven losses. You know, then you have Real Madrid with seven, Baskonia with eight, and Barcelona and Tenerife both with nine. You know, how would you handicap, you know, this playoffs? Well,
have you ever heard of the phrase "a third time lucky"? I just wonder maybe if Valencia might be a third time lucky, and I say that because they would have beaten Real Madrid had Sergio Llull not been in the Real Madrid lineup in the Copa del Rey final. I mean, he was like Superman. That's how good he was. Valencia could not have played any better. They should have beaten Unicaja Malaga in the Euro Cup final and basically imploded over the last 10 minutes. They've been playing exceptionally well since. Real Madrid, I think it kind of depends on, you know, how things are going for them overall. And they do have some distractions. I also think it's just incredibly level. Wouldn't it be interesting if Barcelona somehow ended up winning the league title after the type of season they've had? I'm not going to put any money on that, but I think Baskonia at times look to me like they're the best team in Spain. I mean, they are. And their coach is exceptional. I really like him, Cito Alonso. Unicaja Malaga, I mean, here they are. We saw what they're capable of in the Euro Cup. So I think those six teams have genuine hope for winning the title, including Tenerife. I would not count them out, although I think the fact that they're kind of like still pretty young in this sense, I think it's going to be too much for them. So I would suggest – really that you've got five teams throwing Malaga in there with really okay shots to win the title. And Tenerife, you know, if the basketball gods smile on them and they get some interesting results, I think they would be in there as well.
Caja Laboral, the last team to win the Spanish championship other than Real Madrid or Barcelona back in 2010.
So, and you remember what happened, don't you?
Right at the buzzer.
Yes. Fernando Sanemeterio for that Baskonia team that also had Marcelo Huertas and Thiago Splitter, beating Pablo Laso's Real Madrid, and just sensational. And Santi Mateo now plays for Valencia. Not to suggest that that means they're going to win it, but I just think one of the great players in Spain, without question.
Any FIBA news you want to talk about? Anything that's happening? Obviously, we saw now the NBA has announced, or USA Basketball says that NBA guys will definitely not be playing. It looks like right now, D-leaguers, though I would imagine that there's some of the top Americans out here in Europe, mainly out here in Europe, maybe in China, would be also able to play for in the FIBA windows. Anything you're watching for over the next couple of few weeks before some of these continental championships start coming up?
Not really. I mean, I spent quite a bit of time with Sergio Hernandez, the Argentina coach, in Tenerife. He was there watching games, and it was interesting talking to him just about how talking about history, some of the great players, Scola. He's hoping that he's still going to be involved. He'd been to watch Lapro Vitola, who's been playing with Baskonia, maybe not playing as well as he would like, but I think there's hope for Argentina. He had a lot of good things to say about Carlos Delfino, who I don't know if you remember, but he was out injured for about 3 years and came back and played at the Olympics all of a sudden at the last minute.
He's
He
playing
was,
in Argentina now.
yeah, he is, and he's not playing for a great team, but it's not a bad situation for him because he's finding his feet again in basketball and getting confident. But he had put so much energy into coming back and being the best guy, the best player in the preliminaries or before the Olympics. And then once the Olympics came, he was just kind of out of steam. But anyway, I mean, so it was fascinating talking to him. I think there's obviously a ton of questions that we want to know that we need answering about the makeup of the rosters for the Eurobasket. For example, Great Britain. I think Poland is going to be a really interesting team to watch. I've had the benefit to talk to Mike Taylor, who actually lives in Germany. I don't know if you ever run across him. He's excited about this year, and we were talking about Šimek and the hope that he'll be involved. I'm sure he's going to be drafted or have a chance to play with some NBA clubs this summer. But overall, Dave, it's all about a big year, big changes. The World Cup qualifiers coming up, huge opportunities, very important preliminary pre-qualifying for the qualifiers, games for Sweden, for example, Bosnia and Herzegovina, countries like the Slovak Republic. All of these teams need to win pre-qualifying games just to get into the qualifications. And those are important because, for the 6 windows all the way through February 2019, it means you're going to be having home games for your fans to watch the national team. And I'm just really, I mean, and I know we've been talking about this new competition system for a long time.
Yes.
And I'm just very excited to see. I think some countries are going to be able to cope with it better than others, as you've mentioned. Canada, it's going to be interesting to see what they do because they've got a ton of players, in the American collegiate ranks and in the NBA, and also Europe. How are they going to cope with this? Are they going to bring the Europeans back? Still waiting on announcements there.
Well, yeah,
So
40% to 2/5 of the Basketball Champions League all whatever what were they called, the top team, the five best players of the competition, what were they
Oh
called,
yeah, the ideal
the
quintet,
star
the
lineup, the star
yeah,
lineup, the star the four, two of those were Canadian, with in Dornacamp and Melvin Ejim. So
I did speak to Esteban Batista, who has signed with Venezia. He was there, but he couldn't play because he joined him too late. He'd been playing in China, but obviously he's one of Uruguay's most famous ever players, played in the NBA, and he's really excited about it. He's like, you know what? I just wish this had happened 8 years ago when I was in my prime rather than now. But he thinks it's going to be great for Uruguayan basketball to have these home games, and he thinks the players are going to really like it, especially those that are abroad, because they can go back and go home and spend time at home. So, yeah, I just think it's going to be a really interesting year come November. But don't forget, you've got those pre-qualifiers, for example, with the Netherlands. They're one of the other teams. They're going to be in the thick of things. So it's a fascinating year coming up, definitely.
And we'll probably catch up another time as well. Jeff Taylor, maybe go and let people know where they can follow you and get all your great information.
Well, like you, Dave, I write a column for FIBA.com. Jeff Taylor's Eurovision. And like you, I have a Twitter account at Jeffrey N. Taylor. So JeffreyNTaylor. N for Newton. Sir Isaac Newton.
All right, Jeff, I appreciate it. Safe travels. And I'm sure we'll run into each other. Well, we are going to run into each other, I believe, in Cairo, right? Is that?
That's right. We'll be there at the pyramids.
Yes, at the pyramids. All right, man. Take care.
The Sphinx. Bye.
All right. As always, Jeff, great stuff. Loads of fantastic information. I think the TV and the highlights and, you know, Basketball Breakdown, the guys over at basketballbreakdown.com, who, if you don't know, you really should go check out that site. Loads of videos and breaking down NBA games. But the guys over there, they started doing some of the Basketball Champions League and just fantastic stuff. And I think that's so important, the video, the TV, and the highlights, to having the product and to keep the fans engaged and you know, give them, you know, clips to share with their friends and whatnot, you know. And they really did a good job with that this year. I didn't watch loads of it, but I watched a little bit. Didn't watch the Final Four, but did watch a little bit of the tournament this year, and it was a really good product. And I think the teams that were in it were pretty high level, and the games were high level, and so I think the Champions League people can be really satisfied. You know, there was a lot of question marks, as everybody knows, what everybody was talking about and how this is going to be a horrible season, and everybody else, you know, nobody else. So just, you know, we're here at the final. We have the Final Four now in the EuroLeague. Euro Cup's done. FIBA Europe Cup is done. And, you know, Basketball Champions League now is done. And so, you know, they all kind of had, you know, really nice, good, strong seasons. And so it begs the question, you know, does European basketball have enough to cover and four tournaments? And, you know, you think you have to say yes, you know, that these clubs, you know, they want to play international competitions, because that gives them also additional strength of and experience to play national domestic championships. And I think it's strong. You know, you look at European basketball, and the EuroLeague was fantastic, and it was long, and I wonder how they're going to kind of work with that, and what they're going to do, especially with those clubs and their domestic leagues, domestic leagues. But, you know, you look at that, and the Champions League, pretty successful for a season. And, you know, it seems to me, all right, this is me talking without really having the numbers, the financial, background. You know, I don't know how the Euro Cup teams, how they did, you know, financially and whatnot, but as far as, entertainment value and strength of competition, I think that they were all there. And so, you know, I don't foresee so many changes necessarily. It's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen, but, you know, especially because you hear some of the federations, some of the nations talking about maybe not wanting to play Champions League, wanting to go over the Euro Cup. It is what it is, and I think the Basketball Champions League definitely had a strong season. Congratulations to Iberostar Tenerife. You know, lots of really great guys and really nice stories on that team, you know, that Jeff talked about. And So congratulations to those guys, and it's gonna be interesting. The Spanish playoffs are gonna be interesting. You know, it's probably the most even it's been in a while now. And you know, like Jeff said, you know, man, all those teams now, you know, there's 5-6 teams where you really can't say they don't have a shot. And so should be a good one come a couple weeks when those Spanish playoffs start. German playoffs start this week, so you're going to start looking at these domestic leagues and looking at the playoffs kicking off. And so really exciting time. EuroLeague Final Four is 2 weeks away, basically. So lots of stuff. You know, we'll probably talk a little bit more NBA, maybe next week, the week after, because obviously we're starting to get some of the really, really high level, games and series. Lots of basketball to talk about, and we'll definitely obviously keep you filled, your information and everything else filled. So. I will let you go with that, let you know what you're going to be listening to close off the show. The song's called Love Suit. I really like this tune. It's by Helotrons. It's available on freemusicarchive.org. Enjoy it. Enjoy the week of basketball, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hello, my name is Sergio Scariolo, and you are listening to Taking the Charge.